Let me begin by this. This morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is calling us, all of us, to himself. And particularly those who are weary and heavy laden, is calling us to himself for rest. And this rest is not like the rest that the world really promises or try to give, but a true rest. And we see, first of all, why Jesus, on what basis Jesus is extending this promise, this calling. Why he has all this confidence for calling every human being to come to him. Well, I do have two things to share from the text that I believe with all of my heart that were in Jesus' mind, and he gave them to us here, why he was going to make this statement in verse 28. So going back to verse 25 of Matthew 11, 5 to 27, Jesus gives us the reason why we should rush when he calls to him for rest. Two reasons are there. But before I could give you these two reasons, also let me take you back again to the context. The context of his speech when he was moved to share this. This was at a time when the opposition was so great. So these words were bore out of the opposition that people were mounting against him and standing against his message. We read this in chapter 9. Because a paralyzed man or paralytic was brought to him. And when he healed him by speaking a word and say, "Your sins are forgiven." This is in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven. Mark also chapter 2 gives this story. And when Jesus said that was wow. It's not politically correct, especially in our days today, when every religion is valid. You see, so for Jesus to say something like this even is challenging to his hearers, especially the Pharisees. They were the people who objected because they were not thinking of Jesus the way Jesus was thinking of himself. They were not thinking of Jesus as the Messiah, the one who came from God. To this day, the Jewish people, most of whom who have not come to Jesus, is still there waiting for the Messiah. And then when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," they said, "Wow, this fellow is blaspheming." So, and then that went on also. Like even John the Baptist, he was in jail. Also, he sent his two disciples. When he heard that Jesus was performing miracles, so he didn't believe that this is the Messiah as well. He was doubting the fact that Messiah has arrived. He said, "Shall we wait for? Are you the one we are waiting for, or shall we wait for another?" I love this in John because the Middle Eastern way of sending messengers. If I send my son to someone asking that person to do something, and then my son will go and then just give the message, and then the recipient will hear that, and then they may go away and continue doing what they are doing, and then they will be thinking of the response, or even if it's something to carry, and then they will bring it later. The person will wait. So in John, when John's disciples, in the Gospel of John, when John's disciples, John the Baptist, came to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, John said this to us, Jesus at that moment, the Bible says, he started to heal the sick. He started to open the eyes of the blind. Even he raised a dead person. And then he came back to this man. And he said to him, "Go back, tell John that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, and the dead being raised." Yet, yeah, there was opposition to Jesus. Even John's disciples themselves, they thought they were righteous when they were fasting a lot, and Jesus' disciples were not fasting. So they brought that to Jesus as a question. Also, at the opening of chapter 11, we see also how cities were not believing, and that was the immediate context. When Jesus, after that, gave this speech. From verse 20, Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. So Jesus was demanding repentance, but people were not repenting. And he said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So Jesus, here we would see the unbelief in him. And by not believing in him, these people, they were not believing in God, isn't it? And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. Those who refuse Jesus will go down. Those who reject him will go down. There will be judgment, because this is what Jesus said. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And then now, I believe, when he came to this text, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and the earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, these few verses provide for us a background why Jesus really was going to make that big calling to all of us. Firstly, we see this in this Thanksgiving prayer. He said, he thanks the God the Father. "I praise you, Father, the Lord of heavens and earth." The God of heaven and the earth. And this is the Old Testament language, where the great men of God in the Old Testament refer to God as the God of heaven and the earth. And by saying that, that means God is the author of all life. God is the one who is supreme and authoritative in his judgment. His judgments are authoritative. We read these things in Isaiah 37. "O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of the kingdom of the earth. You have made heaven and the earth." He is the creator. The Old Testament is full of these praises. 2 Kings 19 and 15. In 2 Kings 19, verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heavens and the earth." Genesis 14 says this as well. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and the earth." So God is not only the owner, the creator. He is also the one who is upholding. And by Jesus saying these things, praising God his Father, the God of heaven and the earth, he is telling us something. He is telling us that, as he will say, he knows God. And that he has a relationship with God the Father. There's no one else has this relationship. And he thanked God because God has revealed his will for the salvation of the world to him. He gave God all the big things because God has revealed his sovereign will to him in revealing his salvation to the little ones. And the word little ones is very offensive in our days today. If the word little ones or children is, that means these people are not wise, because this will be opposite to the wise in the worldly sense. Because he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and the earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise. See? Coming to God for the wise is very hard. And you need the revelation from God to be able to come to God. You need God to reveal it to you for a God. If you have not come to Christ, all that you need God really to show you your real estate. How insignificant you are. If you continue in depending on your own ideas and thoughts and living your own way, you are a wise person in your own eyes. But when you come and you acknowledge your need to God and for salvation, that means this grace has been revealed to you. And now you are going to be the wise person, isn't it? So those who have come and give themselves to their Creator, who will hold us in his own hands, and that no devil in hell that can snatch us from his hand, that is the wisest decision a human being can ever make. And for the world today, those who are Christians, those who come this, they don't see us this way. But we are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ, because God, in his mercy, has revealed this. And Jesus is thanking his Father. Jesus, by saying this also, he is saying, I'm one with my Father, isn't it? Because that was the very accusation that he was accused with or of. That making himself equal with God, because he calls himself a son of God, isn't it? That was one of the most fundamental accusations which took him to the cross, to the condemnations. And Jesus affirming these things, he is saying something significant to us, that I and my Father, we are one. And this is the basis for his authority, to call everyone who is weary and burdened to come to him and find rest. So, this is what he says to us. He prays God. The hidden and revelation, they are the same words in Greek. Something hidden from someone, the words means they are barred. They cannot do it. They cannot receive this revelation. It has to be revealed to them. It is hidden, but is revealed to those who are unable in their own effort to receive this revelation and to be Christians. So it's nothing in you, as Paul would tell us in Titus, that we, not because of anything we have done in righteousness, that we have been saved, but by mere mercy of God. Secondly, he takes that authority upon himself as the Son. Who knows his Father? Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure that you reveal this. It is your good pleasure. It was out of your mercy that you reveal these things. That is why we can be proud as Christians, even when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and seem to be praying and finding answers to our prayers and having God meeting us in our needs. When we are down, he raises us up to strength and joy. When we look like we are finished and defeated, we rise again as we repent and put our trust in him. Jesus went on to say, all things have been committed to me. That is what I said to you as a basis of his authority, because he's a son. of God. All things have been given to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And this knowledge is what makes Jesus unique. His knowledge of his Father. What does he know about his Father? And what his Father knows about Jesus? They know their deity, isn't it? They know that they are God. God the Father, God the Son. They know this. They know that the Father knows that his Son will obey and do everything for the salvation of the world. The Father knows that. He knows that Jesus will humble himself like in Philippians. He knows that Jesus will empty himself, and he will not hold to his deity for the sake of our salvation. And this is what makes Jesus so glorious, because he and his Father are one. All authority, all things have been committed to me. And that is why I can say to anyone, to every little baby, come. Because he has the power to execute his promise, isn't it? If I come to Jesus, happy shall I be. How do we know this? Also, it's a revelation. You are a little one, isn't it? I think even the song says something like that. Isn't it? Little one likes me, isn't it? But to be great and wise, that is just really a demonstration of you being barred from accessing the salvation and the wondrous work of God. But the good news, even Jesus in advance, before even he could make this invitation, he said also that there will be some people that the Son will choose to reveal him. Because this is what he says. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The Son will reveal to us our Father, isn't it? Without Jesus, you couldn't have come to God and know him as our Father, our Creator. That is why that Jesus here, even he prepares us to this great invitation that he is making. And in this context, this text was primarily aimed at those who were far away, those who have no relationship with Jesus in the first place. And secondly, anyone who would want to depart from Christ. Again, the calling is for them. Because there are a few things involved there. Now, let me just move quickly to the invitation, because that is what I want to share with us today. But I just felt to prepare. Why? Because this invitation will make no sense without revealing to us the fact that who is Jesus, the Messiah, that the people of his time are rejecting, are refusing. Even in our day to day, people are still rejecting Christ, and they call themselves wise, isn't it? Now Jesus makes his invitation in verse 28 to 30. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened. Let me say, first thing, the offer is by grace, because you see there is no condition attached here, isn't it? Come. Come. All that you need to do is to come. To come. To come. And the prayer of my heart is, if you are far from Jesus from today, you need to come. This might be your last chance to come to Christ and to acknowledge him that he is the Savior. He is the only one who can give you eternal life and take away your sins. Because those who are invited are those who are burdened. Those who are burdened. Those who are weary and burdened. The word weary refers to the trouble and beaten down of the world. Those who are trying to live in the world by the condition of the world, they are very tough to meet, isn't it? If you live by the rules of the world, you struggle. And Jesus is rescuing us, saying that you live by the world's rules, you are dead in your sins and transgressions. And you will be burdened. You will be burdened with sins. You will be burdened with low self-esteem. You will be burdened with the competition trying to beat up others. Some people, they build a house. Oh, no, I'll build more, a bigger house. Some people, they look differently. You say you want to look like them. Some people even are burdened by the way they look and the way they are. But if you cast that and you know that you are a child of God, you won't be burdened by these things, isn't it? You know that you are precious, like we heard today. Mothers are precious. Because some people may think like motherhood and staying home, it's not precious. Maybe you pursue a career. Even some people just would postpone bearing children just simply because they can follow their career. They rise up in the ladder. And they will be burdened with guilt, and at the end of their days, they will look back and they say, maybe we made the wrong decision. I heard a man in the radio the other day, he's a scholar, a Christian scholar. He said he was working for the American security, like in charge of all the technology that was involved in the security in USA for decades. Before he could go and train to become one of the best scholars in the world. And he said he was doing that out of the love of his country. But he said, when I look back now, maybe that was a form of idolatry. This means at some point, those to whom this verse is referring, they were also forced to carry the burden or yoke, because Jesus is coming to replace this yoke. We read of the fact that the people of God, the Israelites, they were put under burdens by the Egyptians. They were placed under the yoke of the Egyptians. As slaves, they were working harder and harder. And Jesus here is mentioning something like this, to this effect. Because God was going to deliver his people from the yoke of the Egyptians. And Jesus wants to deliver us from the yoke of sin. The burdens of sin. And those who were under that yoke, they were really subject to their masters, isn't it? They were masters. It's a relationship between someone who is superior. To force you to carry heavy loads. That is what the devil is doing. He's bringing his people against under his authority. That is why the Bible says we have been delivered from the dominions of the kingdom of darkness. So being a Christian, you've been delivered. That is why I think in Psalm 126 we say like, we are like birds, isn't it? It's been set free, their snares, it's been broken. And we escape like birds, isn't it? Because of the power of God, delivering us from the dominion of Satan and devil and demons. Demons are cruel. I think sometimes we have, even what is written in the Bible should be enough for us. The demon possessed, they were inhumane. By the demons. I'm making up my English now, isn't it? They were made really not to look like human beings created by God. God didn't mean to create us to be humiliated by Satan. And that is why the opportunity for us is great to respond to Jesus. We read that in Exodus 6:6. Even with that, even after they were set free, they didn't even get rest. They were looking for a city. And now Jesus is saying, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And now, how this rest is going to come about. First of all, we come. And secondly, what we do, we take upon ourselves his yoke. Again, a yoke is a picture of, you know, that horizontal bar, wooden bar that is placed in the mouth of two donkeys or two cows in the developing countries. And then to work in the field or in the farm. Or even you have one person having two containers of water, carrying them like 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers to sell them. These are poor persons being burdened with this yoke of carrying these things. This is the picture Jesus is using. He's just using this as an illustration of the fact that there are yokes, whether it's yoke of Satan or his yoke. And this is what he says about his yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you. And what is his yoke? The yoke of the law. Even the Old Testament people, they refer to the law as the yoke to govern their lives. And now Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Take my words upon you and learn from me. He's not saying, take the word, study it, and then you will learn of me. No, he said, come to me. As you follow me and we walk together, you learn. And also you learn by taking the example, seeing me, what I did. You do what I did. That is why you will see in John 15:13, he says that I gave you the example. You follow in the example he has given. I gave you the example. I lay down my life. And also you should do that. And when he says this, you learn from me. It is very important that we learn this, because if we don't learn, we will be like the people Apostle Paul describes as those who are learning but not understanding. But Jesus says we learned of him because he himself found rest in learning obedience to his Father, and he was given all authority. And he said to his disciple also, I gave you the authority, go into the world, and if you obey me, I will be with you to the end of the time. And you will cast out demons, you will raise the dead. But here he says, take my yoke upon you. Because his yoke is not that hard. It's not like the yoke of the Egyptians. As I am gentle and humble, it was out of gentleness and humility that Jesus was able to acquire all the authority. He was able to receive that. And that is why he's saying, learn of me because I'm gentle and humble in heart. I was not proud enough not to respond to my Father. In our days today, we need this desperately. We need to come back to follow in the footsteps of our Master, who is gentle and humble. I said this earlier. Being God was not something to hold to, but he emptied himself Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude. And that is what he's saying. Come to me. Your attitude, we would say with Paul, should be the same as that of Jesus Christ our Lord, who being in every nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to hold to. But he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. That is what all the servant will do. They will obey and they will submit to their superior. And Jesus is saying, even though the Pharisees are rejecting me, you should not reject me. By rejecting me, you are rejecting God. And you are going to face a judgment. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many troubled souls are there today? How many troubled souls? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because I will carry it with you. I will help you to apply my words. I will help you to walk with me. I will hold your hand. I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. And this shouldn't be that hard. All that you need to do is to acknowledge me, the Savior of the world. No wonder why, randomly, as I was speaking to this friend of mine in Saudi Arabia, this Muslim guy, I couldn't resist not sharing the gospel with him. I think I shared this before here. Because as I was in his car, Uber, I have trouble pronouncing Uber. Uber. I just touched things, buttons. I didn't know what type of car I was going to see. And then there, when it came, it was brand new. It was like coming out from from the company. And it was Audi, isn't it? I think someone of here had that car. And it was brand new. And this guy was in his turban. We were wearing masks because it was just like COVID-19, 2022. I sat back, exceptionally dressed up, not with a tie, just like that. Just I sat, and then suddenly I felt there was something quiet and serene. I couldn't resist saying to this man, as we drive right now, do you believe that God can be with us? He looked through the mirror. Yes, I believe. And I said to him, why some people would object to the fact that God can come in the person of Jesus Christ into this world. And then I just went on. I said to him, when Jesus came, he interacted with the Pharisees who were trying to stop people from following Jesus, coming and finding rest for their souls. I said to him, Jesus. And I think that is why the reason later on in 2 minutes I was going to pick up this text. Because it was in the context of those who will want to stop us, even you and I. Today, we hear different philosophies. I said to him, when Jesus came, he interacted, and the first people who clashed with him, they were the Pharisees who were promoting false religion, a religion where people are proud and they talk a lot about dignity. In my 23 years in Australia, I heard a lot of people talking about dignity. When someone is raised up as a moderator, they say, oh, I want to serve God with dignity. When someone passed away, they said, oh, he has lived a life of dignity. I wonder a lot about this. Because any dignity, apart from the dignity of Christ, is not a dignity. It's a demotion, isn't it? So I said to this man, Jesus clashed with these people because they were not real. They were promoting false religion. And false religion should not be entertained. We need to come to Christ and be gentle and humble. As he is himself gentle and humble, and put his yoke and learn only of him, not another philosopher, not existentialism, not pragmatism, and not naturalism, and not even postmodernity. Socialism and capitalism. These are theories to burden us. Well, you figure out what way you go. So I said to this friend of mine, this is what happens. And I talk about the true religion, the women who are giving in 2 copper coins. And people may give thousands and thousands, but what you give in fear of the Lord with all of your heart, even if it's 10 cents, is much worth before in God's eyes than millions that were given just in self-righteousness. And then suddenly I said to my friend, Jesus said this, come to me, all you are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You will find I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and gentle, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he was looking at me, his eyes were open. And after that he said to me, thank you. Thank you so much for quoting directly. His English was better than my English. He said, thank you for quoting directly from the Bible. And then he confessed to me that he had a Bible, but that was causing trouble to him and his community. And he gave it away. He's my friend to this day, communicating with him. Well, the challenge for us today also, those who have come to know Jesus Christ, have you drifted? Have you taken things upon your hands? And this is what I want to finish with. Because for all of us, we are capable of doing these things. We are capable of thinking that now I'm wise enough, I should make wise decisions. And then somehow we stop to pray and seek wisdom from God himself. And then that will become a burden. We want to do something that maybe we were not called to do. And that has become a burden to us when we refuse to simply follow the Lord. And he will lead us by his spirit and he will guide us by his truth. Come to me, you are weak and heavy laden. Also, it's applicable to us, those who have come to know him. Come to me, and all that you need to do is to come, isn't it? And Jesus made this over and over in John 7:37. On the last day of that great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and he said, because people were just like rejoicing and they looked like they were very happy celebrating. And yet Jesus could figure out that these people also, they're still thirsty. Thirsty for the true righteousness, for the true faith and true joy that only God can give through the work of his Holy Spirit and opening up his word and the promises to shine in your heart, to light your path to godliness and to God. He said, come, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. You see, let him come. I did that one day. I felt the power of that verse. You know, like training to be a pastor in a foreign country in a foreign language was so difficult, isn't it? And so I went before the presbytery to preach my first sermon for trial. And I was faced with questions and also like even things which were very difficult. And so it's not good enough. And then I went away and then all of them were making their comments, and then they sent a delegate to someone. He came out and we met somewhere there, and he was going through all the responses of the members of the presbytery. And there was one really negative comment. And I figured it out, and this man said, oh, don't say that to him and he will kill me. Well, thankfully now I can say it to him, because this person has departed and went to be with the Lord. He was a good man. Well, I went home crushed and burdened with that. It was a cold night. I was in Mulgrave and I stood against a heater. I couldn't even sit. My family went to bed. I pulled up out my Bible, my mobile. Even I can't just open the Bible. I was going through verses that can bring comfort and can take me out of my state of burdens and sense of hopelessness and lostness. And then I started like around 9 and it went on until 1 a.m. I couldn't sit, because I was deeply distressed and burdened. And then I came across this verse when Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. As I read that, that melted my heart and bread brought peace and rest to my heart. This rest that Jesus is talking about is a rest of God. A rest that has no barriers to joy. A race that has no any explanations in world terms is a rest in the midst of trouble. And a rest in the midst of opposition is a rest in the midst of our needs, even in our suffering. It's true rest that Jesus gives, and he knows better because he is God. And when we surrender fully to him and we give him all the leadership, the obedience, we will ever experience this. And he wants us not to think highly of ourselves, but to think of him who has humbled himself and who is lowly and gentle in heart. And if we follow in his footsteps, we will follow him truly. We will always find rest for our souls in such a troubled times and a troubled world. To finish with this example, people in northern Sudan are going through turmoils now. Their city is just a war zone. People who were secure the other day. And southern Sudanese people have fled South Sudan 10 years ago to take refuge in the northern Sudan. And now they are running back again. And so the running never stops. So the man in Sinja, you saw the young man, Hamis Agostino, and our church is trying to support him. He had two churches. I've shown you the full pictures. When the war broke out, as a leader, a true leader from God, he went and he held a meeting with these people. He said to them, look, we escaped from South Sudan 10 years ago from war. And now the war broke out. We are not going to run. All that we are going to do is to put our trust in our God and pray. He went to another city, a center, 2 hours later or four or three. He shared the same message. And they are still safe. Their city is 8 hours away, 400 kilometers from Khartoum, where the war is concentrated. So there is no rest anywhere else, only in Christ. And our days are numbered. Come to me, you are weak and heavy laden. Do you identify yourself as weak and heavy laden? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. The blessings of God, really, they look like they are to those who are unlikely in the terms of the world, but those the Lord has chosen to reveal them, these mysteries, these divine revelations. Can we rejoice over this? Those of us who have come to salvation, and if you are not, do you have the opportunity to come and experience these wonders of God, revelations that he reveals to those who see themselves as little ones. The offer is by grace, and those who received must be the one who have been burdened and weary, and those who listens and humble themselves and come. Let us pray.